And the too beautiful voice of Trina Hamlin from her new CD, One Night Stand Seattle. Trina, welcome back to the Saturday Cafe.
It is such my pleasure to be here. Thanks for letting me in.
You're doing wonderful songs about, you know, love and life and emotional storms and shipwrecks, the kind of stuff we all experience. How hard is it to find something new to say when you're writing songs?
Really good question. I think I usually try to challenge myself one way or another. I mean, obviously, lyrically, whatever I'm inspired by, I do try not to write the exact same thing again and again and again. That said, fortunately, whatever muse that is running my brain seems to guide me to different ways of saying things that might be similar themed, but you know, how many themes do we have that run through our lives? Love runs constantly.
It's true. Your last two CDs are both live. They share a title, One Night Stand. Is this a series of musical projects?
What happened was I've always wanted to put out a live CD because I do find it is most representative of me. It's very hard to capture a performer in the studio. Studio albums are meant for a whole different part of life. And so you always get that complaint that, you know, wow, you know, your CD's great, but it doesn't really sound like you. And so I thought, well, I better get a live CD out. And I had a friend in Indianapolis who was experimenting with some recording techniques, and he wanted to come record a live show. And it turned out it was a good show. And he's like, you know, you should release it. So I had to come up with a concept upon releasing it, and then I thought, you know, why not set it up so that you could make it a series? And, you know, tongue in cheek, yes, it's a piece of furniture, one nightstand. it's not anything more than that. And so then it just kind of, the playfulness of it, it comes out of, you know, it's one nightstand, a piece of furniture, and it exists in a certain city. And Seattle was one of those rare moments where everything collided to come together. I happened to play in this fantastic venue in Seattle called the Columbia City Theater. And they had a recording studio in the back of it that had been set up by the previous owners. And the guy that actually set it up happened to be there that night running sound for the new owners. So it's like everything just came together, and not to mention the show actually went really well. So everything just kind of collided and created, you know, the One Night Stand for Seattle, which was not planned at all. And I actually love that particular live show. A lot of good came out of it.
Will there be more One Night Stands in the future, do you think?
Oh, you know, into every life another One Night Stand must fall. There'll be more.
I think it's courageous. Richard Thompson is playing in Eugene, was here last night, and he's doing a whole series of concerts just to record one live CD so that he can pick and choose. The idea, you're playing without a net.
Yeah, I just did one show, you know. I didn't even take the chance that it would be bad or good, you know, but that's kind of the way I've run my life and my career. Usually my take is my first take, if you want to put it that way. It's like, just go for it and see what happens.
Well, it seems like playing without a net is a good way to wind up with a wounded knee, so perhaps we should play that song next.
That sounds like a perfect intro, better than any intro I could give it. So let's just roll right into it, unless you want a little more history.
That's all right. We'll get a little history on the outside. Trina Hamlin from her new album, One Night Stand Seattle. This is Wounded Knee.
Thank you.
All right, I got to know about the tricycle.
Well, the tricycle. I as a little kid, I was given this great purple sparkly tricycle with the tassels on the handle. I know they have a specific name. And, you know, Minnesota is not known for its hills. I grew up just outside of Minneapolis. But when you're a little kid, I mean, a little tiny bump can be a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And so inevitably, you know, I would get my tricycle to the top of that hill. And, you know, fly down the hill. But if you really think about tricycles, they don't have brakes. You know, and these parents throw us on them, and they're like, oh, they'll be fine, you know. And you're like, going down the hill. It's like, and there was a little intersection, very minor for my neighborhood. But, you know, you came to that decision of, okay, you don't want to get hit by the car. Sticking your shins in the way of those pedals really hurts. Or you can ditch sideways and just go for the curb, you know. And so there were I tried all of them except for getting hit. I didn't get hit. But yeah, it always cracked me up when I looked back at it. I was like, wow, you know, not only didn't we have helmets or anything. I mean, kids these days, for God's sake, mm-hmm. you know, where's that?
I've seen safety belts on swings.
Right. Although, out of fairness, there were a few like infant swings with you know the bars when mm-hmm. we were kids.
That's true.
But still.
That's true.
It's like, isn't that the survival of the fittest theory? I mean, we're totally getting rid of that. Now everybody gets to survive. What's the fun in that? No. Okay,
I'm not sure kidding. I want to follow up this line of... One thing I want to follow up on, it seems like every musician I talked to, when I told them that you were coming to town, they said, oh, God, she's such a great harmonica player. We heard some of that in Wounded Knee. Where did you pick up the harmonica?
I'll try and make that a shorter story than a long one. I first picked up a harmonica just after college. A friend of mine had one. I picked it up at his house. I blew on it, and I thought, wow, this is a dumb instrument. I don't get it. So I put it down. And we had a mutual friend we were working with. Her name is Tanya Lee, and she's a great singer-songwriter. She's in Nashville now. And I was doing background vocals for her, and all of a sudden, one day after rehearsal, she walks up and she's like, hey, could you play harmonica on this song? And I'm like, I've never played harmonica, but I guess we could try figuring it out. I don't know what possessed her to ask me to play. And she goes, well, here, I have some of my dad's, which in retrospect is kind of gross, but that's another story. And so we sat there, and she was like, you have to bend the note. And once that I got that concept of bending the note, which is usually when you're inhaling on the harp, it made it feel more like a voice, because otherwise it was like this stiff, weird little mm-hmm. thing that you know, made sound on, and I didn't get it. And after that, for some reason, it clicked in my head, and I tried listening to, you know, harmonica players, and I knew some in Boston at the time, but, you know, I picked up a Charlie Musselwhite album. I picked up Junior Wells. And I then proceeded to get so confused that I had to put everything down because I was like, I don't know what they're doing. And then I just went on instinct and started hyperventilating a lot because I thought it took a lot more air than it does, and just kept kind of playing everywhere. It was a really, really natural learning process, and I just started trying to play what I wanted to hear. And I love rhythm. So I kept finding as much as I could within the harmonica.
Well, it's a wonderful kind of contrast to your voice. You've got a kind of a deep woman's voice, and then the harmonica can kind of soar above it when you alternate between the two of them.
Yeah, that's such an interesting concept, because traditionally in my mind, the reason I love the rhythm of the harmonica is because vocally, I always think of the singer as the one that soars over the rhythm of the band or the guitar or whatever else is playing, which is so cool that you just said that. And for me, the harmonica allowed me to get the rhythm out of my voice, if you want to put it that way, that I wouldn't get when singing a melody.
Well, Trina Hamlin, thank you very much for joining me on the Saturday Cafe. It's really wonderful having you back after all this time.
It was an absolute pleasure.
You're performing in Veneta this coming Friday, the 26th, at Still Point House Concert. And in Sisters, the day after Harmony House Concerts in Sisters on Saturday, February 27th. Let us end. We've been playing sort of upbeat and big and bold songs. Let's end with something a little quieter and perhaps a little sadder. Could you introduce Forget for us, please?
Forget fell out of a moment in time. It's funny. I would love to say it's autobiographical or biographical, but it's not. It's if you've ever encountered a really brilliant documentary called Young at Heart, and at is that the at symbol on the mm-hmm. computer, which is a stunning look at a choir based in Northampton, Mass. The average age is about 82. And they perform music from James Brown, the Ramones, Sonic Youth, crazy, just really brilliant, crazy. And just the long and the short of it was absolutely a brilliantly moving documentary, and it moved me to write Forget.
Trina Hamlin on the Saturday Cafe.
Every day I get up, I get out of my bed, put my feet on the floor, put my arms overhead, and I forget about you. Turn the radio on, Radnor sings through the air, moves me closer and closer to you not being.